You're listening to a podcast from 702 and Cape Talk.
702 and Cape Talk. Dr. Shoma.
Hello, Dr. Shoma.
Good morning. You've had fun.
My goodness. I'm so glad the Guptas haven't yet stolen our sense of humor. It's all we have left.
Yo, but you know the new car is also called the Gupta.
Who's also called the Gupta?
Yeah, it's not a Rand anymore. It's a Gupta. How many Guptas have you got?
Very sharp.
So what kind of pets were people talking about? Was it dog, cats, and other things?
It's mostly dogs. I don't know why people only... I think, obviously, there are many different kinds of pets. I don't know if you have any, but dogs seem to be the most popular among our listeners.
Yes. Dogs have such amazing dedication to the owners and such... I mean, you don't feed them, you might not have walked them, yet you come home and they want to lick your face. It's such amazing dedication to whoever is seen as the pack leader. We don't get that from many. We might not even get that from our partners.
That's true. That's very, very true.
Pets are essential. Yeah, we use them a lot in people that have been traumatized to open the doors to communication. So pets with this unbelievable dedication and love. Yes.
Absolutely, and I could hear that in some of the stories. Some beautiful ones, heartbreaking ones, folks having to mourn the loss of an animal as well. And I think that's also probably why it's a very good idea for kids to have pets, because they learn all sorts of complex emotional relationships.
Yes. First thing, take care of a plant, then take care of a hamster, next a rabbit, then a cat, then a dog, then you're ready for the little baby elephant.
And eventually Papa Shoma.
Oh my God, I've just been promoted. I'm a pet. I like it. Thank you, sir.
Pets are people too.
It was my primal ambition in life.
We better get on with our planned radio. So the art of listening is so important. In a country where we all love talking, I sometimes think that the skill of listening, Dr. Shoma, is one that many of us need to cultivate.
Yes, listening is an essential part to any communication. It's essential to any part of a relationship. What we need to encourage, what you and I would like to encourage, is active listening. So the worst thing you can do is you stare off into space when your partner is talking to you. You begrudgingly put in the occasional or you're watching TV while listening, or you're on your phone. That's even worse. The active part of listening means eye contact and no stupid facial expression, which already says, I want to get out of here, or you're boring me, or what you say has no importance. It is active when you are paraphrasing what your partner is saying. So, for instance, last night the person tried to talk to you about the household budget and you were in front of the TV with your favorite soapy and you nodded and and tomorrow. And the next morning, what is active listening that you acknowledge it happened? And you say, it seems that I should have known that you wanted to talk to me and it was most probably more important than my soapy, but thank you for letting me look at it, watch it, and here I am, now tell me about your budget. You could also say, it seems that I'm talking more to other people than to you, so please talk to me now. So eye contact, maybe holding the hand across the table, face to face, that is called active. Another thing that is very, very good within a conversation, of course, is that you are paraphrasing what they said. So you summarize what they said and say, am I understanding you correctly? And then, of course, unconditional positive regard. We need to keep in mind that the concept of positive regard is used in a wonderful, very successful therapeutic endeavor called person-centered therapy. And it means that you can tell the partner that you disagree, but you love them. So you could say at the end of the conversation, you know how much I love you, but it bugs me that, and you tell them what bugs you. Or you can say, some people say, which is, of course, totally against active listening, when they say, it is a rotten thing what you're doing here, and here we go. So you've got to say something positive that reaffirms the relationship before you go and tell them what's wrong.
Absolutely.
Positive before negative opens doors.
Mm. 20 minutes before noon, we are focusing today on active listening. Do you think you're an active listener? Do you struggle to listen? Or perhaps you want to share with us stories of how you feel and how you have been impacted when it's very clear that a loved one, a colleague, a relative, just doesn't quite listen to you, and what that has done in terms of impacting the quality of your relationships. And Dr. Sharma will give you as much help as he possibly can. 011-883-0702. Give us a call. And in Cape Town on 021-446-0567. 19 minutes before noon.
702 and Cape Talk. Dr. Sharma.
I found interesting what you said about body language, Dr. Sharma, because some people try to hoodwink you into thinking that they're listening actively, because they've been told that if you nod affirmatively, you are sending the right signals. Can you just talk us through genuine cases where the body language is authentic and the person who's talking knows that they're not being hoodwinked, and cases where simply nodding is not going to convince someone that you are actively listening?
Yes. It is important that with the eye contact goes a shoulder-to-shoulder confrontation, meaning you don't turn sideways and you're not turned slightly away, but you are keeping line in line, meaning shoulder-to-shoulder, you are looking at each other, parallel shoulders to each other, which opens the doors to say, I'm here. So if you're already turning sideways, it's a method of saying to you, body language, I'm on the way out. I'm keeping the door open. I really don't want to be here. The best, of course, would be if you can lower yourself. Standing up, some people like to talk like this. Some people see standing up more of a confrontation than anything else. So once you've greeted, sit down. Make yourself, both of you, small and opposite each other, with as little in between you as possible. So a table, that's okay in a conference, but when it's your intimate partner, when it's your child, it would be good if there's a chair to a chair and you can actually virtually touch them. Mm. So you could reach out as a hand and say, I'm here, hello. If you can't reach out and touch them, you're too far apart already. So the body language is face-to-face, shoulder-to-shoulder, within reach. And then very, very important, keep your face neutral. So don't pull faces. Don't make, as soon as you hear something, some of us are just too reactive. You hear something that is not pleasant. You hear something that seems like an accusation. Very, very important. Breathe, count to 10, then answer. Don't immediately fall in with a reaction that says, I am displeased. Have you ever had to raise something that is upsetting, that could be upsetting to your partner?
It happens.
That is the question.
In any honest partnership, of course, yes.
Yeah, and it actually needs a sensitivity to the time, the place, that both of you are not under pressure. Mm. And it's always good to start with some disclosure of yourself. For instance, if someone accusing the other person of what they do wrong, they say, you could say, I have a feeling which I would like to check out with you. Start with I. Also very good, we as partners, very good beginning. Instead of, you know, you, this accusation of you all the time.
Absolutely.
What you are doing wrong. Mm. Open the door that you reaffirm, I'm here, and it's a unit, a partnership. It is a relationship that I don't want to break, but there is a topic that needs to be discussed so that we can carry on being supportive, good partners to each other.
We've got a couple of calls that I want to take, Karen, Seth, and Tobekile. I just want you to complete one thought out of the example you've given about language and how language can structure dialogue so that both parties or everyone around the table listen actively. When you say language such as, I want to check out something with you, Helga, I'm not sure whether I understood you correctly yesterday, but blah, blah, blah. That kind of framing also says, I'm not going to talk to you. I am open to perhaps being wrong. I think that kind of psychological cue will make it more likely that the other person is going to listen actively as well. So I can also, so what I say and how I say it can also affect the likelihood of the other person listening actively.
Very, very, very good. You got your finger exactly on it. Do not come in with frame and door and the whole house and the foundations. Come in with an open idea that I want to really have a conversation with you, not accusing you, not putting you in a corner, not pulling you down. People are willing to talk if they feel that they will be heard and not to be diminished. if they feel, oh, it's going to be a dressing down, I'm going to be shouted at, I'm going to be screamed at, I'm going to be told that I'm no good, I'm going to be told that I missed this and I'm never present, that closes doors, because then the person goes into defensive mode, the brain shuts down, you spend more on defending your ego than on the topic.
That is right. Let's go to Somerset West. Hello, Seth. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Silas. Good morning, Dr. Sharma.
Good morning.
One of the things that I am 100% guilty of, my wife and I work from home, so we spend a lot of time together. And when she talks to me, I stop her and I say, I know what you're going to say, and I carry on with what I believe she's going to say. And once or twice I'm right, but 98% of the time I'm wrong. And I think part of active listening is active keeping quiet.
Mm. Oh, I love it, I love it, I love it. Please say this to our listeners again. Actively keeping quiet. I love it. Thank you.
It's active keeping quiet. And it's something that I think that I have to learn, and it's not easy.
No, it's not easy because we feel we could shorten the conversation. That's going to take time. We're under pressure. The kids are waiting to be fetched from school. Another deal can be done. We're wasting time on the phone. No, the partner needs some substance which you cannot cut them short on. In a relationship is the investment of time. Give them time to finish. I love it. Thank you. Great call.
But it's so important that we are not too highfalutin about this, and that's what I love about Seth's advice, that in the first instance, active listening means shutting up and listening.
Yeah, breathe, let the person finish. And then if you really want to top this, if you want to up it to eloquence, you paraphrase what they said and say, and you ask, did I understand you right, darling? Oh, you're going to have such a lekker weekend.
Speaking of which, darling, shall we take a break?
Shall we take a break?
Let's do that.
702 and Cape Talk, Dr. Sharma.
We're talking today about active listening. Have you learned the hard way how to learn to listen actively? And tell us what the impact has been of experiencing people who do not listen to you closely or actively. What does it mean to you? 011-883-0702. Give us a call in Johannesburg and in Cape Town on 021-446-0567. Tor, I'm going to come to your call in a second. I have learned a trick that I've come to appreciate as important beyond trickery, Dr. Sharma.
Yes.
And it is that when you shut up and you don't interrupt someone when they're speaking, and very often on the open line, people are puzzled when I listen closely for a long time. I have the longest conversations with individual members of our Cape Talk and 702 community, sometimes to the irritation of those who are listening to their dialogue. And the reason I do it is very simple. I feel that even when you disagree deeply with another person, that if you listen actively and you don't interrupt someone, you almost buy yourself psychologically the space to be a bit more frank with them about what you think about what they have said. Because in the first instance, human beings, being simple, want to be heard. And if someone feels fully heard, they are also more generous about allowing you the space to say, I disagree with you.
Reciprocal appreciation. Yes, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. You do this on the radio. You let people finish their sentences. You let them finish their story. Then you come in. That person has emptied their reservoir of concerns and their story. And then it's your turn. So this give and take is very quick in our brain. If I see that I get treated fairly, I'm willing to treat you fairly. And it comes into that realm of do to the opposite like you want to be done to yourself.
Absolutely.
And that goes for language, that goes for mannerisms, that goes for agreements, loans, whatever. Apart from, if, of course, if you're part of a certain kind of family.
Let's go to Kempton Park. Tor, thank you so much for your patience.
Hi, how are you?
We're very well, thank you. Go ahead.
I just want to ask the doctor, what if a person just chooses to find where you're watching your favorite soapie, and that person knows that this is the only moment and this is the only time where you're focusing on the soapie, and in that soapie there's that just action that she's just been waiting for. And
so they're waiting for the moment to interrupt your favorite moment?
Yes. And then you politely put that person on hold. You're like, okay, can you just talk about this after this? And then afterward, it become an argument and saying that you don't listen or maybe you don't give me time to listen. All those things. I mean, how do you deal with that?
You need a conversation before you switch on the TV. You actually got to say, this is a little time for me. This delights me. This put a smile on my face. I love to follow this story. I love to see this. Give me that half an hour. I'm Sophie's most of the time, half an hour.
Yes.
And you tell them afterwards, I'm totally yours. Afterwards, you can raise any topic under the sun, and then I'm there. And if you negotiate, when you negotiate that before the soapy, no more interruptions, and you can enjoy whatever it is, scandal and all.
Yeah, but the thing is, it turned out to be an accident afterwards. As in, like, now I cannot, I put my soapy first.
So it's a comparison now, what's more important and what's not more important. You see, when people do that, there is a element of manipulation in that. Most people, if they want to become the upper hand person, they will, of course, interrupt, interject, come at you at the very moment when they know they have a very likelihood of upsetting you, winning the argument, you not being available, and making a point. So my question is this a power play or is this a communication?
I think it's a bit of both.
Ah, it's a bit of both. Please, 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 let me encourage you, try it. Have the conversation with that person before you switch on the soap and say, for the next half an hour, I'm going to go into this room and just love this interjection in my brain of my soapy. I'm going to follow the story, and then I come out, you will see me coming out with a big smile on my face, available to talk to anything you have on your mind.
Thank you, Toe.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thanks so
much. Good luck, don't give up on this.
Okay, I won't. Thank you so much.
Good.
But do you know what I love about a story, Dr. Shoma, is that I think it allows us in the 2 or 3 minutes we have left to just widen what is at stake here. It is very clear. Obviously, one needs to know the full facts and to speak to the person interrupting her. That the topic we're currently discussing isn't just active listening as an important dialogical skill set, because it has social and business and other advantages. Clearly, where there is an absence of active listening, it could be a symptom of a bigger problem in a relationship that is impaired in a more serious way.
Oh, yes. When you see how people stand across the room, how they face each other when they talk, their mannerism, their faces, it talks about what the relationship is actually about. If there is mutual appreciation, if there's mutual respect, we wouldn't even have this topic on the radio. It is usually out of sync. Something is not gelling. Something is about something else. Communication is at the center of humanity. We need to socialize. We need to talk. We need to prat. And as soon as we talk, issues come up. So it's a good idea to clarify what the conversation is actually about.
And to center the word that you threw into the middle of that comment, which is mutual respect. If there isn't mutual respect, chances are active listening is not going to be present in conversation. Active
it's not
listening.
Going to be near it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's going to be absent.
Absolutely.
Lekker. So very important about communication, about language, about listening is, in the end, doesn't matter what you reach, be prepared to grant the respect, to agree to disagree.
I was about to ask about that, because a lot of your advice, just in closing, is about also being non-judgmental, being very careful with your language. What is your advice if someone is sincerely listening closely, but they genuinely think the other person is talking nonsense?
No, if you've got that attitude, the conversation is finished already. You've got to grant the other person the hearing, and maybe they've got a thing to say. Maybe their perspective is valid. Maybe, wow, Eusebius, maybe you could learn something new.
Absolutely. And I have.
Lekker.
Dr. Shoma, that's all we have time for. Thank you, as always, for your advice.
Until next week. Ciao, ciao.
Cheers.